Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
It is 90.7 The Capstone. How about that?
I know, and usually we're like, oh, and it's Sunday. Like, how's it going? But, I mean, I tell you, I can't believe we're in October.
Like, honestly. I know. You know what's interesting? I like October because I like the Halloween stuff. And the boyfriend the other day finally got to see Hocus Pocus for the first time.
Okay, so how did?
Yeah, had never seen it before, and he was down. He liked it. He was like, this is pretty good. I haven't watched Hocus Pocus 2, okay. And I heard it's not as good.
Really?
That's what I've heard, okay. But we're going to watch it and
okay,
see.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thinking about the fact that it's October, you know, and you have the gift of not being on social media, which I think
it's so great.
So smart. But for those of us that are, you know, we get the targeted ads, so of course they know everything about me, and they know I have tiny children who watch all the things. And so Disney on Ice is apparently going to be in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I would love to take my oldest, maybe my youngest. Mm-hmm. I would love to take my oldest, but I literally do not want to pay like $45 for like a spinning like Mickey Mouse flashlight that is going to fall apart like by the time we make it back to Tuscaloosa.
I mean, that's real. That's legit. That's legit.
Like, just like, and then I'm just like, okay, if we go, maybe if the grandparents are like, oh, like, how can we contribute? I'll be like, give me the fund for the, like, the crap.
Yeah.
The crap fund.
You know, I don't know if I've ever been to Mickey or Disney on Ice. My mom took my cousin's kids one time, and she thought it was awesome. She was like, it was amazing. And, I mean, it kind of depends, right? Like, we've got some folks that think it's great and some think that it's not. I'm kind of on a little Disney protest a little bit because they need to get their act together. Sorry, Disney, if you're listening. But, I mean, you should totally go and then talk the grandparents into buying the spinning thingy.
Well, and it's funny because when I was a small child, I did love it. And then when I was 23, I was actually doing a rotation at St. Vincent's at the time. And it was like coming up on my 23rd birthday. Mm-hmm. And so my boyfriend at the time, AKA also my ex-fiance, but it's neither here nor there, I begged him, like, I'm like, pick me up from St. Vincent's. And I'm like, I just want to go to Disney on Ice.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'd be so cutesy, like, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I fell asleep during the
And
he was so mad because he's like, you asked to like sit on the front row and all the things, and you literally fell asleep. And I was like, it was dark, and they
I was
had
comfortable.
Like the smoke show and like the things and like the soothing Disney music.
I wonder though if like you should even go if you fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I don't know.
Because I could see my children fall asleep. I could see me fall asleep. And then,
what else is fun to do around the holiday, like the Halloween holiday? Like pumpkin patch, things like that?
Yes. So, so there's like the pumpkin patch stuff.
Yeah.
And we can totally, like, we'll do that kind of stuff.
Do you have a favorite Halloween movie?
We don't. Mm. And I don't know if it's because my kids just haven't been at an age yet where we've like kind of created that tradition, because they kind of just are all over the place with all the things that they watch.
I'd say Hocus Pocus is probably mine. Not that it's like some great movie, but it's something that I feel when I watch it. Like I enjoy, like it just reminds me of being a kid. It was what, May 1993? And I think I was in fourth grade or third grade, something like that.
Yeah.
And Halloween Town's pretty good.
Yes. And then isn't it like Marnie from Halloween
Town?
Like she got engaged or is married to like one of the other people that was in Halloween
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I only know that because again,
social media. This is why I don't know things. I'm okay with it though.
No, that's totally okay. But, you know, unfortunately, but maybe fortunately, today our show is not necessarily about like Halloween and movies, but it's still going to be a good show.
It always is, Sheena.
Yes, it totally is. And you know, I think in just a couple, I was going to say a couple minutes, but really a couple seconds, we're going to have to take a break. So we're just going to go ahead and do that and get you guys to like sit on the edge of your seats, grab something to drink, run around the block, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. And man, I had to change my chair because every time I moved, I felt like I was squeaking. And I love Seinfeld. And it reminded me of like a Seinfeld episode, like the Tic Tac episode. I don't know if you ever watched Seinfeld. But anyway, for those of you that watch Seinfeld, it was like the Tic Tac episode. Carrying on. We are talking about Halloween and Hocus Pocus. And before we go any further about talking about our topic today, I do want to bring in our guest because we were talking during the break about Hocus Pocus. So with no further ado, Nika Morgan is back on the show with us. You have a new title now. You're in a new place on campus.
I am. Thanks for having me back. Yes. I always love to be with you guys.
Yes.
But yes, so I was over in the College of Education in the Department of Kinesiology for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I have kind of what you call come home, yeah. if you will. Yeah. I have gone back to where I, my first love, mm-hmm. which is health promotion, health education, mm-hmm. where I got my master's and had some classes with the fabulous Ms. Sheena back in the day. I am an instructor for the undergraduate program mm-hmm. in public health, and I'm an advisor, and yeah. I have been there like 2 months now, and yeah. loving it. I love my kinesiology peeps, yeah. But I love this because I feel like this is my jam.
Yeah, this is where you like are most comfortable, I feel like.
Yeah.
You enjoy this type of, like the topics of wellness, which is, you know, we're talking about that today. But I just have to bring this up. We're talking during the break about Hocus Pocus 2, and this is not a spoiler at all.
Yes, not spoiler.
But you were describing your youngest daughter, right?
Right.
And her first time seeing
yes.
it.
Yes. So she's 6, uh-huh. and she saw it last weekend. And so I asked her, I said, well, how was it? She goes, yeah, I didn't like it. And I said, why not? She goes, Sarah's eyebrows are too big.
So if you have a child that is, you know, very critical and detailed as it relates to eyebrows and all the things, this may not be the movie for you.
Might not be.
It's mm-hmm. so funny, though, because, you know, as a kid, because I think back about things like that with myself, where, like, I would be so obsessed or honed in on something that I'm watching on TV that would have nothing to do with the topic, but like a feature, like eyebrows mm-hmm. on somebody. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense because when you're a kid, you talk about the most obvious things. And her eyebrows, they were already really dark and her hair's like super blonde. And so the fact that they're like, you know, the thing now is like eyebrows, like everything right. on like social media that I don't have, this is what I hear. Eyebrows are like super in. And so it's funny to me that they were like huge. I don't know. It just, it's
for
a good
laugh.
Yeah,
I was waiting for, oh, it was scary or mm-hmm. it was boring or yeah. it's just something.
Yeah, yeah.
Not eyebrows on character.
You know, I mean, I am waiting for, is it Siskel and Ebert that does the live movie reviews?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it might be,
yeah.
You
know, Rotten Tomatoes, maybe it'll, yes. yeah. But anyway, Nika, thanks for being on the show. You've been on here quite a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of our wellness expert. We always bring you in on the prevention topics. And so this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right?
Right. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Do we wear pink in October or do we pick a day?
We wear pink all October long just to kind of show our support.
Okay,
yes,
good to
that's
know.
Right.
Good
yeah.
to know.
We need to probably make a note of that.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And before we go into the breast cancer talk specifically, I know that you had mentioned your new role mm-hmm. in the College of Human Environmental Sciences and talked about also being in an advisor role in this college, and you were also serving as an advisor in kinesiology too. Is that correct?
Correct, correct.
So do you find that students in HES have the same type of like life problems that students in kinesiology do, where it's like, oh, like, new college, same problems. Like, you know what I mean? Because you're a mama bear, you know,
right.
you help them.
Right. So far, I have not had any tears shed
okay.
in my office.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, I have not had any, you know, I don't know what I want to do with my life.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if it's just because they're getting to know me, and so they don't know how much they
could
can
be.
Open up to me.
Sure.
I'm a stranger.
Sure.
The tears may come later.
Oh, sure.
You never know. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, being a student's hard. It just is. You're figuring
yeah.
out life.
Mm-hmm.
You're figuring out adulthood. But so far, you know, everybody's just kind of, okay.
Just
so
rocking and
just
rolling.
Rocking and rolling.
Okay, I had to ask. So we're
yeah.
just going to knock on wood or plastic or.
Yeah, or whatever this is.
But now I will have to say this. A lot of my students that I'm seeing, they do want to go on to med school or physician's assistant, or they want to go work for, like, you know, public health policy, CDC, those kinds of things. In kinesiology, I had a lot of students that wanted to go on pretty much all of them wanted to go on like a scientific route, like more of like a physical therapy, mm-hmm. occupational therapy, chiropractor. And I saw a lot of them earlier on in their college careers when they're taking the kind of what we call weeding out sciences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so now some of the students I've been seeing thus far have been like seniors and juniors, and I think they're further along and mm-hmm. they've already gotten through that.
Yeah.
And now they're just coasting and just trying to get through, you know, get to graduation. So I'm thinking I might not have caught them in the mm-hmm. time when mm-hmm. they're experiencing the organic chemistry to,
that's a good point.
You know, like the emotions that come along with that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I had to ask.
What are you teaching right now?
I am teaching drugs, society, and human behavior, mm-hmm. and I'm teaching personal health. Mm. So we talk about all seven of, well, some say seven, some say eight dimensions of health. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of focus in on each one of those. And I love it because mm-hmm. I have a lot of freshmen in that class. I feel like I'm catching them at a pretty good time mm-hmm. so that they can start shaping their behaviors mm-hmm. while they're in college to be more on the healthy side.
Yeah. Well, I think speaking of behaviors and shaping, I mean, we are talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I think before we start talking about, like, how do you prevent these things? Because we will come up on a break in the next few minutes. But do you even know when we started celebrating, like, or recognizing Breast Cancer Awareness Month? Like, do we even know the date? We might have to Google it. But
I'm probably going to be wrong about this. But I think it started with the Susan Komen.
Yeah.
Is that around, like, 95, maybe?
If you give me a second, I will pull out my little smartphone and I'll Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because I was trying to think through mm-hmm. that, and I was like, you know, when did it become such, I mean, it is
a concerted effort.
And I feel like, you know, talking about breasts is kind of like, ooh, I don't know if we could talk about that, but nowadays it's like, oh yeah, you do talk about these things. It's not taboo to say, and you need to be aware. Oh my gosh, guys, I have to tell you this before I even look any further. I teach dance classes at Capstone Village. It's so much fun. It's the elderly, you know, independent living. And they were decorating for their art bras for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yeah. So they had all these bras in the little craft room with, like, sequins and feathers. And they're going to hang them up as their art around. Aww. Isn't that awesome?
That is so good.
I love that. Really cute. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what are all these bras doing over here? And they're like, well, that's our art project. So I just had to say that. Shout out to Capstone Village. Y'all are awesome for decorating bras. And I'm sure, like, everybody's kind of like a little like, oh my gosh, there's bras hanging up. But it's kind of cute. It grabs your attention.
It grabs your attention. It's
like a conversation starter. Check it out.
It's a great way for when a man wants to kind of, you know, turn his head to say, do you know that men can also get breast cancer?
Yeah.
It's not just a ladies' disease.
Yeah, and I did not learn that until I learned that from you.
Really?
Yes. So, I don't know.
It's funny, when I typed in when did breast cancer awareness start, it's brought up the Jeffrey Dahmer files. When did that start? And I was like, that's not what I'm looking up right
it's
now.
It's like wrong.
Sorry, that's just not it at all. But
Google.
It says 1985. So this is according to Google. So this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month began in 1985 as a partnership between the American Cancer Society and Pharmaceutical Division of Imperial Chemical Industries. Very interesting. Huh. Betty Ford kicked off the week-long event. So 1985 is what
a week-long event. I wonder when it became the whole month of October.
That's interesting. Yeah. There is, if you're interested, you can definitely Google it. It's the first thing that pops up if mm-hmm. you want to do a little extra reading.
But
yeah, kind of interesting. It's been going around a year after I was born.
Well, there you go.
Let's talk about it. So, okay. Like, what is breast cancer? Like, what do we need to, as women, and I know this is a really big topic, and we're going to go into it, mm-hmm. but, like, what do we kind of need to know about?
Well, I think one of the big things is that I hear it all the time is family history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I have it in my family, I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. And so you hear a lot about, like, the BRCA1 and the BRCA2 gene.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of facts on that, mm-hmm. if we have time.
Yeah, we can go through those.
All right, great. So here is what cancer.org says, mm-hmm. all right? If you have a family history, yes, you're in a higher risk group, mm-hmm. but that does not necessarily mean you're gonna have breast cancer. That mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean, hey, go schedule a double mastectomy mm-hmm. or anything like that. You know, But statistically, only about 10% of individuals diagnosed with breast cancer actually had a family history of the disease.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. So here's how it goes. If you have a first-degree relative, mm-hmm. which is your mom, your daughter, or your sister, mm-hmm. and they had breast cancer below the age of 50, you should consider some form of breast imaging, like mammograms mm-hmm. or ultrasounds or 3D mammograms, about 10 years prior to the age they were when they found out they had breast cancer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if mom came down with it at 43, you need to start thinking about it at 33.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, your second degree relative is your grandmother or an mm-hmm. aunt. Your risk does increase slightly, but you're not in the same risk category as you were with those first degree relatives, mm-hmm. like mom, daughter, sister. All right. Now, if you have multiple generations mm-hmm. diagnosed with breast cancer on the same side of the family, or if there's several individuals who are first degree relatives to one another, mm-hmm. There is a higher probability. All right. So there is a lot of family history going mm-hmm. on there. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to have a conversation with your doctor sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Get it on their radar. But not every woman who has the BRCA1, mm-hmm. the BRCA1 mm-hmm. or BRCA2 mutation will develop breast cancer or ovarian mm-hmm. cancer. And I hear a lot of women go, well, you know, we have it in our family, so I just went on and had my ovaries mm-hmm. removed and my breasts removed. Mm-hmm. Well, talk to your doctor mm-hmm. and maybe get a second or third opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, if you do have the BRCA 1 or 2, mm-hmm. you are about 5 times more likely mm-hmm. to get it than a woman who doesn't have that mutation. But it is not a set-in-stone mm-hmm. diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, and this is a good place for us to take a break, because I think, honestly, that's very sobering information. Mm-hmm. And then I know after the break, we want to talk to about some of the other factors, like is there a higher prevalence in certain ethnicities mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So you guys, like, let's sit on this. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheehan and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we're talking about boobs, everybody. It's National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so we have Nika Morgan on the show, and she teaches a bunch of health classes at the university, and she advises our lovely students, and so we like to have her in as our guru for everything wellness. But we are talking about breast cancer awareness, and Sheena, you asked something before the break, and I forgot what you said. I was thinking about candy because it's Halloween.
Yeah, well, candy's always good. But I know before the break, Nika, you had mentioned just a lot of the considerations for breast cancer, especially if it runs in your family, and then mm-hmm. and then which family members and all that kind of stuff. And then when we're thinking about other risk factors, one of the things that came to mind, especially, just to be honest, like, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm sitting with two beautiful Caucasian women. Mm. I'm Asian. Mm-hmm. Like, who has the higher risk? Like, I'm thinking like ethnicity-wise, like, are there factors at play there too?
That will be me and Whitney.
Okay.
that will be us. Okay. Yes. So according to, the governmental statistics mm-hmm. that are produced every year, the incidence rates in Caucasian women mm-hmm. is about 141 per 100,000.
Okay.
Okay. Following right behind us, hot on the heels, is the African-American women at 119 mm-hmm. per 100,000. Then the Asians at 96 and the Hispanics at 89.9. But that is just the incident rates. Now, mm-hmm. when we're looking at mortality rates, death rates, the death rate is 40% higher in Black women than it mm-hmm. is the rest mm-hmm. of the groups. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. That can be socioeconomic status, stigma, cultural, just all kinds of things. I don't really think that anything has to do with it being the race
right.
itself as, right. you know, something that you're just genetically predisposed
mm-hmm.
yeah,
with. Yeah, just some, like,
healthcare disparities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, access to healthcare, equal healthcare mm-hmm. Access, all that kind of stuff. It's a sobering fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really mm-hmm. is.
You know, I teach this little, it's our breast cancer stretch class over at the rec center. We've been doing it since man, I don't even know when it started, maybe back in the 90s, because it used to be over at Fitness One. Mm-hmm. And then I think they didn't have a space. And so basically it's in conjunction with DCH. And so ladies and men, but I have mostly ladies that attend the Impact meetings at, I think it's First Methodist Church downtown, the Yellow Church is what I call it. And I said Yella, not yellow, because of my southern twang. But anyway, they meet there, and they have a support group for this. And then they're referred to me, and then they come to my class. It's really fun because, I mean, they're so capable, and they don't realize how capable they are because there is kind of a stigma behind it. Like, after, you know, having surgery and going through chemo, radiation, like, you can build your strength back. You just need a good support group. And I think about those sweet little ladies, and, like, all of their stories are very different. Some of them have had, you know, a small little pin like lump, and they're smaller chested. Some of them are larger chested and have had like mastectomies, and it's just interesting to think about like all the different backgrounds of women that can have breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing we forget about is like, it doesn't always have to be older in your life. Mm-hmm. I have younger, like 50-year-old, like mm-hmm. a friend of yours from Russellville is in my class that I think her sister went to school with you.
Yeah, Jill and I graduated together.
Yeah, and so it's like you look at her and I'm like, you wouldn't have, you know.
You wouldn't have it.
Yeah, you wouldn't have it. And so it's like learning about these things. And when you said to go get checked out, like even as young as 33, depending on that, you know, 10-year or however way you're, you know, removed from the problem. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think it always sheds light. And every time we do the show, I mean, I'm only getting older. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, we've been doing the show for a while.
So, ladies, have you had your mammograms?
No, I'm scared to death.
Okay. So I had one this summer. I'm happy to report back that it did not hurt as bad as it did the first time that I had it years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I am older and I've had 2 children. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I have more fatty tissue mm-hmm. instead of dense breasts, which is going to lead me into what I want to talk about with dense breasts. Mm-hmm. And what is dense breasts?
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because I'm not going to lie, I was looking at your notes, Nika, and I just saw in the big heading, what are dense breasts? And I'm like,
let's talk about it.
Yeah, like, tell me, what are dense breasts?
Okay, they contain glandular, connective, and fat tissue. That's what breasts contain. Uh-huh. All right, so all of our breasts have all that. So the density is a term that describes a relative amount of these different types of breast tissue as they can see it on a mammogram. When you're looking in a mammogram at a dense breast, those breasts have relatively high amounts of glandular tissue and fibrous connective tissue and low amounts of fatty breast tissue. So think about young, perky boobs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. They're high and they're tight to the chest because they're glandular and they're fibrous and they're connective.
I've heard those exist.
Yeah. There's somewhere out there.
There's somewhere out there. As you get older, wear and tear, age, you know, gravity, running, not having a supportive sports bra, that kind of stuff. Just gravity pulls on our breasts and the weight of them. Mm-hmm. And also, as we get older, we lose, you know, muscle and things like that. And especially if you've breastfed and things of that nature, it just now become more fatty. So when you're looking at non-dense breasts in a mammogram, it's easier to see through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the dense breast... mammograms are harder to read because the calcifications and the tumors can appear as white areas in the mammogram, and it's less sensitive in women with dense breasts, so it's easier for radiologists to miss the cancer. Women with dense breasts get called back for follow-up testing more than women with, you know, fatty breast or like me, say. But, you know, then people say, well, does me having a dense breast put me at a higher risk factor for breast cancer? And the answer is yes. Mm. Women with dense breasts do have a higher risk of breast cancer than women with fatty breasts, and the risk increases with increasing breast density.
So how do you know what you have?
They should tell you.
Oh.
So, yes, absolutely.
Talk to the boobie expert.
The boobie expert.
Right over here, over here. Okay. So when you go to your OBGYN appointment and they do the exam for you, they can tell you if you have dense breasts a lot of times. They're just, they see it all day long. They're just used to it.
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah. Can you imagine how many boobs they have to see?
Oh, sure. Right.
Wow.
And I do have to tell you a startling fact right quick. But anyway, so then you ask, well, should women with dense breasts have additional screening? Now, I will say this. I had my first mammogram when I was 28 years old because of my history with ovarian cancer. And they couldn't read it because at that time, it was before age and children, and I had dense breasts. And so we did a mammogram, and it hurt. And so then they went back, and they said, well, we're not seeing anything. We knew we probably wouldn't get to see through it, so let's do an ultrasound. And then I got cleared, and I didn't have to have one again until the summer. And, you know, that's some time that has transpired. And it didn't hurt, but my breasts are more, I guess, malleable. I mean, hi, listeners. In case you see me out in town, keep your eyes above.
Up here.
Keep them up here. I'm telling you everything you need to know.
This is such good radio. I just have to say.
But it really is drawing the listeners in.
Yeah.
But, okay, so here's a really cool thing. In some states, mammogram providers are required to inform women who have a mammogram about their breast density, and they have to tell you if you have dense breasts or not, so that you're aware and that you can stay on top of it. Because those who do have the denser breast may be covered by insurance for supplemental imaging tests.
That's really good to know.
Yes. And so, you know, just because you have denser breast does not mean that you're going to have breast cancer, but if it's hiding in there, it's going to be a little harder to tell on a traditional mammogram, and that's why there are supplemental imaging.
Well, I know in just a minute we're going to have to go on another break, but after the break, Nika, just to give you a heads up, I want to talk about breast implants, and because I think sometimes people...
But that was my startling fact that I want to tell you.
Let's save it. Take a break, you guys. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we're talking about pink, we're talking about boobs, we're talking about prevention, and... Anyway, it's just been a good show. We always have a good show.
Yes, it has. And if you are just now hopping on, right before the break, I was like, what about breast implants?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it? And Nika, you got pumped because you had
I'm really excited. My provider is at Grandview in Birmingham. Fantastic, excellent. And I went this summer for my mammogram, and I'm standing there, you know, getting things done. And, I said, you know, she's manhandling me. I mean, really, you know, they have to. Have to kind of squish them at different angles because that's the whole idea is to see through them. And so I said, this doesn't hurt as badly as it did when I was younger. And then so she said, well, were your breasts denser? And I said, oh, well, yeah, I've had two kids. I've breastfed and everything. And I said, is this harder to do with women who have breast implants? And she said, yeah, it takes a little longer. We have to get multiple angles because we have to kind of try to avoid the breast implant. And I said, oh, I said, so I guess I'm easy on you today. I'm a quick one. And she laughed and she said, yes. And she said, but you would be surprised. We see more people with implants than we see without.
Ooh.
Wow.
And I was like, dude, what the hell?
So they've made a comeback. Like, I thought that they, like, you know. Like,
yes, they've made a comeback. And that makes you feel good to know.
That's where we were.
But you know what it told me, I guess because I think differently, is if you do have implants, it's not this random, oh, well, let me go get somebody who has more experience doing a mammogram with implants. It's literally the norm. Yeah. And not having the implants, it makes it sound like
interesting.
Is the norm.
What a cultural thing. I'm sure there's going to be some research on that.
I'm sure. But she was real great. She was like, we just, you know, have to turn it and do different angles because we want to make sure that we're getting through that implant and seeing anything that could be there. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't have anything, you know, to to skew, so mine went a little bit quicker, I guess.
So I would, because I feel like some people have probably had some false thoughts thinking like, oh, if I get breast implants, that could strangely like increase my chances of like breast cancer because I've like manipulated like that area of my body or whatever. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that thought process? Which, because I don't know if I've seen anything that would suggest that.
I have seen some of the older implants, research on the older implants, like from the 80s and the 90s, that maybe we've come such a long way now that they're more safer, maybe more like saline based than what they were. Because I've had a friend before that's had some that has leaked in their body and made them very sick.
Sure.
And they were relatively new.
Yeah.
So I think you just really got to do your research. Mm-hmm. Talk not only to your surgeon, but also to your OBGYN and ask about the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do have women that have reconstructive surgery after breast cancer. So that tells me that if they were all bad, they wouldn't allow that at all.
Yeah, I was just thinking about my ladies in my stretch class, and a lot of them have had implants. Because, you know, this is actually really cool, too. There is a tattoo artist that will fly down from New York and will tattoo nipples on your chest that look 3D and real.
Wow.
So when you've
amazing.
Yeah, so when you've had, like, a mastectomy and you want an implant, they will come down and actually it's really cool. I actually got to see one. She was like, "Do you want to see it?" I was like, "Yeah, I really do," because that's actually cool and it looked amazing. You could I mean, you could tell like slightly, but like if you're really looking. The other interesting thing is one of them had implants put in, but to make like the pocket for it to go in, they actually took part of their lat in their back and brought it around to the front, because I was like muscularly trying to figure this out, like looking around. I was like, "Well, how does this work? How do we work this?" And it's really kind of amazing what they can do to make you feel like a woman again, if that's been a part of you that's gone, you know?
There are some safer alternatives. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard people before say, well, I got slammed into my breast got slammed pretty hard. Like, you know, somebody ran into me, or this mammogram machine now has given me breast cancer, and it doesn't make breast cancer spread. Mm-hmm. Like that's a myth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trauma to the breast.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know,
for
but
sure.
You just would go to the doctor and have that checked out.
You know, and it's interesting too, because then you have the other end of the spectrum where women go in to have breast reductions. And like, I know my mom had that, and I mean, they check everything out when you have that surgery. So I don't know. It's good to be up on this type of information. And like you said, talk to your doctor. Like you always
need
to be,
conversation. Not just your plastic surgeon, but also your OBGYN.
Yeah.
You know, get it from both. I tell people there is room for both vanity and health in this world. You can have both.
No, that's a good statement.
But you do want to err towards health, because you know, vanity, it can cause us like to be sad about the way we look or the way we feel, but if we're not healthy, that affects every area of our life, you know, financially, physically, emotionally. So but yeah, so like if you see a change in how your breast or nipple looks or feels, holler at your doctor.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like when, like, okay, we need mammograms. Another, because last time I went to my doctor, I'm 37. She was like, "You want to get a mammogram?" I was like, "No, thanks."
Okay, so some physicians will say start at 40.
Yeah.
Some physicians will say start at 45. Mm-hmm. But the consensus is at least at 55 and up, depending on your history and your risk factor.
Like 40 is a good age.
Your physician will talk about whether doing it yearly or every 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because, like, when my doctor has put, I think I was like, does insurance cover that? Like, is that why you're asking me? Because I'm always, like, you know, unfortunately, when we think about, like, cost of healthcare, it's like, okay, if you're offering this to me, please tell me that this is covered by my plan, you know.
Right. That's right.
It is. And I think this is also interesting, too, that some of you may not know, but they have these little deodorant wipes in there, because you have to take your deodorant off because it kind of does a reflection.
Okay.
On the mammogram.
What if you use a hippie deodorant? Would it reflect?
I think you just don't need any aluminum.
So I guess hippie deodorant would be fine.
But they just have these little things where you just wipe it off, and then they have the little spray deodorant to put it back on when you go to leave.
That's
so
cool.
They've got it all figured out. And let me tell you, it was just, you know, sometimes being a lady and going through lady doctor's appointments can be unnerving, but that one was really, I have to give a shout out to Grandview. It was just, you went in, changed it to a robe, wiped your deodorant off, got it done, boom, out of there, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was, and I slept better when I got my results. I was like, okay, something I don't have to think about for the next year.
Well, and you know, we've definitely talked about this a lot from a female perspective, but I know you mentioned too, men
yes.
can have it too.
Yeah, so men, I want you to listen to this because I know you might tune this out when you hear it told to the ladies, but this goes the same as you. You do have glandular mm-hmm. fibrous connective muscle tissue mm-hmm. in your breast area. And everyone has estrogen. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have testosterone and estrogen. So mm-hmm. If you see that your breast or your nipple looks or feels different, it shouldn't probably be doing that. Mm-hmm. So if there's some nipple tenderness or a lump or thickening in the underarm area, your skin is like puckering or looking mm-hmm. like an orange peel, just call your doc.
Yeah.
It could be nothing, but we want them. Mm-hmm. The ones that look at it all day long
yeah.
to determine that. If you have anything that's red mm-hmm. or scaly or hot,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a sign that yeah. there's something going on, maybe an infection. We don't want any really nipple discharge mm-hmm. if you're not pregnant, lactating, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. You have a family history, or you've been told by your doctor that you might be at high risk. Mm-hmm. I remember working at St. Vincent's in 2012, and a gentleman came up to our breast cancer awareness table and said, "I'm a survivor." And I was like,
wow.
"Really?" And
wow.
he said, "Yeah." He said, "I was actually talking to my wife about doing a self-exam," and he goes, "I was just kind of kidding around with her, so I started doing it to myself, like, you know, being like, hey, I'll mm-hmm. do mine too." And he mm-hmm. said, and I felt something odd. Mm. And he said, it was like a little tiny size of a pea.
Yeah.
And just thought it was, you know,
yeah.
just calcification.
Yeah.
And he ended up having to get some tissue removed and go through chemo and radiation.
Wow. Oh, man.
And I was so thankful that he shared that, because that's really the only man that I've personally known that has mm-hmm. admitted that.
Yeah.
And
because you have to think, like, if that does happen to a guy, that's not something that you would necessarily want to mm-hmm. talk about, just
right.
you know, just being a dude, I guess. But I don't know, that's I'm glad that they did say that and bring that up,
it came
so maybe
up to
other
the table.
People would feel comfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He said men can absolutely have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you think about it, we all own the parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just women's are a little bit
different.
More
yeah.
profound.
Yeah. Well, that means I'll be doing a breast exam on my husband.
That's
with
awesome.
That said, okay, we got to take a break. Nico, we want you for our last bit. We have a question for you.
Okay.
So with that said, you guys are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We have had an awesome show today. You're listening to Fit to be Tied and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Go get checked out, men and women. Just be aware. Know your bodies. And, Sheena, you brought up a really good point. Or actually, Nika, you did too. We're mm-hmm. just kind of talking about some more information. But, like, alcohol use. You need to be very mindful with how many drinks you have a day or even in a week. Because weren't you telling us that that increases your risks?
Yes. Alcohol has been shown, proven, mm-hmm. in fact, to increase estrogen in your bloodstream.
Mm.
And the guidance is moderation.
Mm-hmm.
Is one drink per day.
Mm-hmm.
It has been shown to slightly increase the risk of breast cancer. And so having more than one drink per day has shown to be a more significant risk factor. And it doesn't matter which kind of alcohol, beer, wine, mixed drink, whatever. But I have had, friends who have been told straight up by their physician who have had breast cancer mm-hmm. and they're in remission, you do not drink. That is like a number
wow.
one behavioral factor
yeah.
that we can't control, and let's control it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not telling you to cut out all the alcohol,
mm-hmm.
but know your family history
yeah.
and just be conscious of it, you know?
Well, moderation just goes for anything.
Yes.
And I think, you know, Sheena, you're talking about like football season and tailgating and how we like to partake in these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just something we should be aware of.
Definitely.
You know?
No, I knew, like, I was like, okay, we got to mention that in our
yeah.
last bit. Like, okay, so now we're transitioning to the question that we have been asking all of our guests. And Nika, you've been with us before, so, you know, you're used to us kind of going rogue and
yeah.
asking our guests like something random. And, you know, before we would ask all of our guests, like, what does self-care look like for you? But Whitney came up with a fabulous question this time. So we have been asking our guests, what gets you hype? like whether that's music, is there like a I don't know, like
when you just like need to like
when I
you
get
just
high,
feel good and like
you just
hype,
gotta
like
get
what
hype
just
up
makes you
for
feel
like
who like
oh 90s booty music,
90s booty music,
okay. Hands down,
yeah,
okay. Like what's so like Luke Scar, yeah, you know, 69 Boys,
yes,
yeah. Give me that donkey butt and the big old legs,
yes,
that
yes.
Kind of, like from my youth,
yeah,
like we would put that on and we would get turned up.
See, okay. Most
with no alcohol or drugs,
right? See,
just
natural endorphins of, yes. Of like feeling good.
Yeah, like if I need to get my yard mowed, I'm gonna throw some Outkast Bombs Over Baghdad.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get it done.
Yes, I've got a hand clap for that one.
You know what's funny? Most of our people, I think Charles said it last week, like music, he said
yes.
Despacito
gets
him hyped. And I was like, really, Charles?
But he also said, and I can't remember if he said this on air or not, but it's when you have like something scheduled in your calendar, but then the other person cancels it. And so then
you're free.
Yeah, like, oh, I have this like random block of free time.
And
I
no guilt that you are the one that canceled it.
Exactly.
And then we also, and I have to say this every time, we also, Paige Acker from University Program, she said what gets her hype is a well-organized plan for the day.
I mean, I guess if you know you've got it planned out, then you're like, I feel good. This
is it. This but is if I'm going to throw some bows and I'm going to drop it low, it's going to have to be Outkast.
Yeah. No.
I love it. I think that's a wrap.
Okay. So with that said, y'all get hype, get some 90s booties music, and we will see you next week. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.